On today's episode, we'll get into all the COVID and injury updates of the past week. We'll look at the most added and dropped players in the last week, and we'll talk about how to initiate trade discussions. That's today on Fastball Fantasy Baseball.
I'm Taylor Tarter, and this is Fastball Fantasy Baseball. Let's get into it.
So a couple of players had really great weeks last week. Tyler O'Neill sort of came out of nowhere a little bit. 7 runs, 4 home runs, 7 RBI, 2 stolen bases, and a 404 batting average. His discipline over the course of the season so far has been really bad, but he's a solid pickup for now. I picked him up in one of my leagues, and I'm just riding the hot streak. Got a couple guys on IL. I don't feel bad dropping him for one of those guys when they come back, or if somebody else hits a hot streak and I want to ride that one, then I don't feel bad about dropping Tyler O'Neill. Another guy who had a great week last week was Aaron Judge. 4 runs, 3 homers, 10 RBI, and a 409 batting average. He is absolutely picking things up now. I'm totally buying the power surge. He hits balls so hard that the high BABIP that he has, I think is actually sustainable for him. That's something that we talked about last week. Those big line drive hitters, hard hitters, having those higher than usual BABIPs. And the 35% home run to fly ball rate is pretty in line with his usual, even though it may be higher for a lot of other, you know, compared to a lot of other players. But that home run to fly ball rate is sustainable for him, so I'm buying it
big time. Another guy, Chris Bryant. Remember when everybody just gave up on Chris Bryant? Well, last week, 25 total bases, 10 hits, 10 RBIs, 4 home runs. Yeah, a lot of people just kind of quit on the former MVP, but it's clear he's reminding people why he won the award back in 2016. I mean, what a wild discount on a guy like that in the beginning of the year. Right? So if you were able to jump on him, I mean, his ADP was paying dividends for you right now. So congrats to you guys if you were able to pull him out of the scrapping heap metal. Another guy, I just love this guy, Jared Walsh. Angels. Fun stat about him. As of the time of this recording, Jared Walsh has appeared in 26 games. He's reached base in all but one game. He has a hit in all but 4 of them. That's totally shocking to me. I mean, imagine those numbers going into the season. Like, everybody thought he was sort of a guy that peaked at the end of the year and that was sort of like never going to really replicate. he was super hot last week. He went 12 for 23, 2 home runs, 7 RBIs, 2 walks, 3 Ks. The hard contact rate is down 12 points from last year, and his soft contact rate has doubled. But the results are there. And I know it's ridiculous to say, but if he can actually go back to his career norms, as short of his career as it's been, I mean, he's already a top 20 hitter. So if he goes back to that, I mean, what kind of ceiling are we going to see from him? There's a possibility he's going to get better. So 27 years old, keep him on your radar.
Yeah, I love Jared Walsh. I have him in a league, and, you know, he's picked up outfield eligibility too. So he's even increased his value more.
Love that. Yeah.
Love it. Love it. There's also a couple of 2-start pitchers who picked up 2 quality starts this week. Woodruff, Flaherty, McCullers, those guys aren't surprises to see on that list. But Jose Urquidy, John Means, Anthony DeSclafani, Logan Webb, those were a little bit of surprises. DeSclafani, he's had some luck involved this year, but his ground ball rate is better. He's starting to throw his sinker a lot more. It's not a velocity improvement. It seems like he's just locating his pitches better and better, and that his pitch selection is improving. And this is something that I've talked about before with San Francisco pitching coaches. We saw this sort of improvement last year from Kevin Gausman. I kind of saw this coming for Di Sclafani. I'm buying it. I have him in a very competitive league, a very deep league, and I'm running him out there every week. I am skeptical with Urquidy, though. He's got a very low K rate. He's got a low ground ball rate, and he's throwing lots of fly balls. He's not a hard thrower. So I think this is a little bit of a mirage from him.
Another guy who seemingly we gave up on, Corey Kluber. It certainly really helps to play the Orioles and Tigers back-to-back in 1 week. But he had two great starts, and that's what you're looking for in a guy that kind of had a shaky start to the season. Last week, 15 Ks over 14.2 innings, one earned run. I mean, if you can keep this up, I mean, you're going to be very happy with owning him as well.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really up and down season for him. You know, people are going to get frustrated like they were in weeks 2 and 3, and now he had a good week 4, and people are buying him again. This is going to be all season.
There's a burn coming soon, probably.
Coronavirus.
So just when we thought that we might be able to get through a week without COVID news, we don't. Yordan Alvarez, he missed a couple of days last week because of COVID. We don't really know. He missed time earlier with the rest of the Astros guys, Altuve, Bregman, but he missed time again for possible COVID exposure, we think. He tested negative, though. He ended up back in the lineup after a day or two. What is he doing? Why does this keep happening? Is this something that, you know, worries you about Yordan for the rest of the season? I was already concerned about him as like an injury risk, and the fact that he's DH only, that's something that's typically a drawback for me in how I roster players. But
yeah, I mean, it's sort of he's a bit of a mirage at this point, right? I mean, we've seen what he can do, and it's kind of a tease. When is he actually going to, you know, be on the field?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it COVID? Is it, you know, one of the lingering injuries from before? It'd be nice to get him on the field. And I'm right there with you. The DH thing is tough. That's why I was praying he would take the field in Colorado, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think he's absolutely somebody you have to hold. You know, you're not dumping him. But you just kind of hope that it comes together shortly. We're all just kind of sitting here with our fingers crossed, right?
Yep. He's definitely a frustrating player. Another player who's been out, I believe, as of today still, he's listed as out since Thursday, April 29th, is Corbin Burnes, who has had an incredible start to the season. But it's one of those cases where we don't have a ton of information. Does he have COVID? Does he, you know, is he just feeling sick because he got the vaccine? Did he get exposed and now he's quarantining? They don't give us any information, so we have no idea when he's coming back. So that's another, you know, just kind of confusing, frustrating thing that we have to deal with this season. And then you have Max Kepler, who's finally back from the COVID list, but he hasn't done much. Since he's come back, he's been 1 for 7 with one run scored, which is not very good. We have to expect the power will come back, but I don't know how this is going to work out for him with a lot of depth in Minnesota right now. They called up Alex Kirilloff, and so they got to make room for him. There's lots of platoon options in Minnesota. Kepler has been bad against lefties this year. Kirilloff is really good against lefties. Kirilloff has seen time at first base, but so has Williams Astudillo. I would bet that they do a hard platoon split between Kirilloff and Astudillo at first. And then, you know, that might free up some options for Kepler, but the outfield is pretty stacked too. They have Garlick, Jake Cave, Kepler, Buxton, and even Luis Arraez has had some time in the outfield, and Kepler could get the short end of the stick on a platoon here. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great lineup, and like you said, great depth. I definitely love Alex Kirilloff. He's raking the ball right now. I've been keep my eye on him the last couple of years. His profile always was a kind of guy that really spoke to me. That's a guy that you wanted to own. And start the year, though, in spring training, didn't necessarily look too good, and now he's really turned a corner. I mean, he's ripping the ball.
So we've got lots of intriguing names showing up in the injured list this week and a few recoveries of note, so let's get into that.
Ouch, baby. Very ouch.
Poor Dustin May. He, was having an incredible season. He had the second highest average fastball velocity behind Jake DeGrom. Wow. And, man, he was lights out. Finally, the strikeouts were coming. What we thought was going to happen last year, you know, he was having an awesome season, but he had a shooting sensation down his arm and officially is going to have Tommy John surgery. Major bummer for Dustin May and for the Dodgers and for anybody who rostered Dustin May. But this does bode well for some other Dodgers pitchers.
It might be Tony Gonsolin's season, the Catman. He has been rehabbing from an injury as well right now, but he's on the other side of the hill comparatively to Dustin May. He's thrown a few bullpens. He's working closer. I would say maybe within 3 to 4 weeks, he might be able to come back and be a full-time starter. I'm sure they're going to ease him back in, but remember that there are some injuries on that roster too, with David Price is out for several weeks now. I mean, I think if you got the opportunity, you jump on Gonsolin right now if you have it, because I'm sure a lot of people already have. And he'll be eased in. He'll be in the bullpen, but making starts soon and definitely take up the Dustin May mantle. Shooting pain is just never something – it's like the worst way to describe some pitcher that you own, right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. As soon as you know, you see like one inning, and then you read the little thing that says shooting pain down the arm.
Yeah,
it's
you
over.
You have to like turn away. You can't look anymore.
But I do agree. This is definitely time to add Tony Gonsolin, even especially if you have IL spots open. Which, with all the injuries, you might not, but. If you can grab him and stash him, go for it. We've got a couple other major injuries this season here. Travis d'Arnaud, Atlanta's catcher, has a torn ligament in his thumb. He needs surgery. He's going to miss the rest of the season. Catcher is really rough this year. I don't even know if these guys are available in deeper leagues, but you might be able to find them in shallower leagues. Williams Astudillo, Mike Zunino, Sean Murphy, Mitch Garver, Tucker Barnhart, if you need a replacement. As far as Atlanta, I would expect William Contreras and Jeff Mathis to split time there. And then another really disappointing injury was good old Lou Bob, Luis Robert, torn hip flexor. He's out 3 to 4 months, and that's before even resuming baseball activities. So this, you know, this could be mid-September. Maybe he doesn't even make it back by playoff time, you know? So this does open the door for more playing time for Andrew Vaughn, though. So if you're a Vaughn owner, this is good news for you. Time to drop Lou Bob and redraft, add Vaughn. And, you know, if you can stash Robert in like dynasty leagues and keeper leagues, I would, but other than that, time to cut him loose. We've also got Atlanta starting pitcher Max Fried, who's returning from an injury. He's starting on Wednesday today versus the Nats. I would sit him. The Nats are on fire right now. They won 4 in a row, swept the Marlins. What's your take on Max Fried, Matt?
Yeah, I would definitely take a breather on Fried for the moment. Nats are playing good ball. These things do linger as well, right? He needs to retool himself, and I don't think he's going to be going deep into his first start.
No, I doubt it.
Yeah, play it safe. Keep him on the bench.
Orioles outfielder Anthony Santander, he has a sprained ankle. The team is saying he's still out at least 3 more weeks. Are you keeping him rostered?
You know, I think I'm going to give it my best shot. But again, you know, kind of like we said, it's been so tough to manage all these injuries that if you got to cut him loose, I understand. But the guy's a good player. You know, it's a tough start to the year, right? But outfield is desolate, as we've said, yes. Right?
Yeah, which is surprising. It's usually, you know, one of the deeper positions, but this year it's just very shallow, at least to start. As far as Santander, he was off to a little bit of a bad start statistically to start the season, but his contact, his hard contact was 45%, which is very good. The problem was the launch angle was 4 degrees, which is very not good. It's like hitting it straight down into the ground. And so his BABIP was low, his average was low, and his ground ball rate was super high. Those things probably get corrected over the course of the season. And I'm with you. I would probably hold on to him if I could. Another outfielder is returning, Detroit outfielder Nomar Mazara. He is expected back from the IL on May 9th. Is he a sneaky pickup, or are you passing on him?
Not for me. I've had history, my own history with Nomar Mazara. And yeah, he has this package. He's sort of built like a guy who's going to be a superstar, right? And he just continuously always let me down. So I'm not touching any shares of Mazara anymore.
And one of your other favorite players, one of your other favorite injured players, Framber Valdez. He's way ahead of schedule, but still no timetable, no return timetable. Obviously, this is frustrating, but is he a stash candidate right now if he's available? What if you don't have IL spots available? What do you do?
I mean, he's one of the IL spots that I'm using for sure. I just, it's going to be tough to find a guy of his caliber later in the year. And if you have any intention of going deep into the playoffs, this is a great guy that hopefully he comes back, you know, around the All-Star break or a little bit earlier. And it's unlikely he'll be on an innings limit. And I know Dusty likes to use him and let him go late in games, which is a rarity, really, currently. It's a guy you stash him because he's going to pay off later, I think.
Now, one pitcher who actually does have updates and reports is Luis Severino. He's not far off, according to the team, from facing live hitters. He hasn't had significant innings since 2018. He for sure will be on an innings limit this season. Do you still invest, and when do we pick him up?
Well, I think if you have the space, you definitely stash him now, particularly if you're in a keeper league. I mean, I'm sure he's still rostered in your dynasty leagues. Great talent. And, you know, if he can even come back to a portion of what he's shown us, it's a guy that you want on your roster.
And then we've got a few pitchers in San Diego who are dealing with some injuries. Ryan Weathers had some joint inflammation. And then Lamet is sort of on and off, back in and healthy. Nope, he's not healthy, right? He's got dealing with some forearm tightness. Both of those injuries scare me a bit. I'm staying away from both of them right now. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not terribly passionate on Weathers. I probably need to see a little bit more out of him. I know he had one or two great starts, and, you know, we all ride in the hype train for that. But if I had to choose between the two of them, I'm going to go with Lamet. I'm not even that passionate about Lamet necessarily. So if he does come back sort of like Max Fried, you want to sit him, you want to see what he does. You want to be the guy who owns him during that period of time, because if everything clicks, that's the guy you want as well. I would roll with Lamet and hesitate starting him.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a smart play. And then something we've talked about on the show before is all these soft tissue injuries that are happening. Muscle injuries. So we've got some more soft tissue, a lot of soft tissue injuries from last week. McKinstry's out with an oblique injury. Jazz Chisholm's out with a hamstring injury. Corey Dickerson's out with a groin injury. Tommy Pham is out with a calf injury. Mike Yastrzemski's out with an oblique injury. It's crazy. It's crazy what's happening. So what are your thoughts between McKinstry and Chisholm rest of season? Who are you looking at more?
Well, between the two guys, it's tough because I'm still waiting for Chisholm to kind of calm down a little bit, right? And maybe this is the portion of his game that's going to slow him down, the injury, right? But I think Chisholm has got the playing time. So Dodgeritis is a real thing. And McKinstry and, you know, Justin Turner and Chris Taylor and Gavin Lux, you know, you got these guys playing all over the field, different matchups, different days. I'll go with the guy that's going to play almost every game, I think, with Chisholm over McKinstry.
Yeah, I think one thing that's important about any fantasy sport is you want to get guys that have the opportunity, right? That are going to be on the field. And I think Chisholm has a definite edge there. A couple other injured players. You've got Tommy Pham and Yaz. So deciding between them, right? Let's say you need to cut one. Who's the one to cut here? My thought is I would probably cut Tommy Pham. His discipline numbers, his walk to strikeout rates are similar to what he did in 2019 when he had 21 home runs, 25 stolen bases, and batted .273. His barrel rate is a little bit better than then too. And just to clarify, something that we've talked about before, hard hit percent, that's StatCast information, and hard contact rate, that's FanGraphs, right? So while FanGraphs has StatCast on there, they're different mathematical equations figuring out all that stuff. Now, his hard hit percent is better than in 2019, but his hard contact rate is down and his medium contact rate is up. The difference between this year and that year is a suppressed BABIP, which is 100 points lower than normal, and a 0% home run to fly ball rate. Now, you could buy low on Pham. You know, I think he's going to finish somewhere around a 230 to 240 average, but I'm still scared of the discipline. I'm still scared of more injury. And his spring training was pretty awful. So to me, I'm kind of fading Pham rest of season. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. He's getting older and he is injury prone. I guess depending on how bad my outfield is, he might be worth considering buying temporarily. If you can get him for super, super cheap. But between Pham and Yaz, I mean, if I had to choose between the two, I'm probably going to pick Yaz. But as always, oblique injuries, they're not fun. He's had a really slow start to the season, and his hard hit percentage is down. His exit velocity is down. His launch angle's down. Maybe he's trying to play through the oblique injury.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. So it sounds like he's first eligible to return on Friday. And, you know, if that's the case, definitely keep your eye on him. We keep saying it, outfield is so, so desolate, right? And despite all the negative numbers, I'd be more than happy to roster him if I could pick him up. Simply because that 2020 season was so good, right? And the Giants lineup is showing they can play.
They're definitely better than a lot of people think.
Yeah.
I agree. You know, it's still so early in the season that, and especially for a guy who clearly is injured and, like you said, potentially was playing through injury, I think these sort of hard hit metrics and exit velocity, I think these things start to turn around. Mm-hmm. So good time to buy low on Yaz. So with lots of the guys, lots of players being put on the IL and being dumped in fantasy leagues, let's take a look at some other players who are showing up on the most dropped and added list to see if people are making mistakes, to see if we can find value. We'll do that right after a word from our sponsor.
I lift things up and put them down.
So one player who is showing up on the most added list is Jesus Aguilar, Miami first baseman. He's up 52% in ESPN leagues. So this season he's been walking more than he's been striking out, which is incredibly impressive. His hard contact rate, good, not great. But this is some of the best discipline we're seeing over his career. The home run to fly ball rate is legit and actually probably could get marginally better to kind of match with his career average. This guy would be a great pickup if he's still available in your leagues. I'm totally buying what he's doing. This is a legit first baseman.
Yeah, I really am coming around on Aguilar as well. I was a doubter, definitely, to start the year. But he, the numbers are there, and he's looking really good. He's even moving around the bases a little bit.
And he's done this before. This isn't, you know, a new thing. He's been kind of off the last season or two, but, you know, he's shown the ability to be a 30 home run guy.
Yeah, and that's a fun lineup too, honestly. You know, he's going to have some opportunities, some ducks in the pond in front of him. So another guy worth keeping your eye on, Carson Kelly. He's 31% owned in ESPN. If you're the guy that had Travis d'Arnaud, then Carson Kelly's your guy. He came over as one of the pieces in the 2018 offseason in the Goldschmidt trade with the Cardinals. His 12.8% K rate is almost half of his career rate. So you're seeing a lot of improvement there. He's got a 40% hard hit rate. Great. 14.3% barrel rate puts him in the top 20 if he qualified so far this year. So I'd say jump on him. I mean, for sure. Not that catcher's that deep anyway. And if this guy's available, grab him.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like a guy like that who's still available, he's still out there in a lot of leagues. You know, you need somebody. This is it. And, you know, what he's doing is definitely legit. Another player who's been added a lot, 35% in ESPN leagues over the last week, is San Francisco pitcher Alex Wood. His walk and home run rates are down, but he does have a low pitching BABIP. Could be, you know, who he's played against, could be good fielding or just general luck. Now, some good things, 10 strikeouts per nine innings, 58% ground ball rate, both of which are the best of his career. He's throwing more curveballs and less fastballs, which is actually a sinker. Now, the injury history scares me a bit. And so to me, he's more of a streamer. I'm not going to throw him out there every game. I'm not going to feel bad if I drop him a week from now. I would rather have DeSclafani if I could get DeSclafani. Yeah. But I'll pick up Alex Wood for, you know, spot starts here and there, but he's not a guy I'm looking to for major major statistical.
Yeah, this guy's not your anchor or your staff.
No,
right?
No.
But you're more than happy to have him pop in and have a visit and then get him off the roster. Another guy with a was worth looking at, a lot of pickups recently, as Nico Hoerner. What a hot start to the year for him. I know he kind of slowly eased into that lineup, and then he really started raking the ball. Then on Sunday, he ends up colliding with Ian Happ, unfortunately. And as of this recording, not a terrible amount of info. They are at least very sore, and they're going through a number of tests. And they were out of the lineup Monday. Never mind. So Hoerner is actually on the 10-day IL with a left forearm strain. And I know we keep saying this, like if you have room on the IL,
yeah,
this is which you probably don't.
Stash candidate right here.
Yeah, big time. Keep your eye on him. It looked like he was finally breaking out, right?
Yeah, great spring training. They definitely have room for him on the roster. You know, they need a guy in the middle of the infield who's going to produce. And, you know, maybe they run him out in the outfield too. I've had Hoerner on my watch list since spring training, since late February.
Yeah.
And of course somebody else grabs him before I do, of course, but I'm definitely keeping an eye on him. Definitely worth hanging on to. As far as the most drop players across the board, no surprise here, Minnesota relief pitcher Alex Colome is being dropped a lot, 24% on ESPN. He has – oh, you take this one. You take
No, you take it's – sure. you know, that's the thing about him is, you know, he's always been this untraditional closer, right? He's never had very overpowering stuff, sort of like all about location. And I feel like we've all been waiting for this like inevitable removal from the closer role for years. But he's continued to prove us wrong. The numbers were there. Well, I think this is the time. It's finally here. I think we can kind of wash our hands clean of column A. And I think right there would be Taylor Rogers coming out of that bullpen. He's been great.
Yeah, and, you know, I was all about column A to start the season because, you know, he's done it before. He's pretty consistently 25, 30 saves a season. But, yeah, this season, the metrics finally caught up with him. Mm-hmm. Another player that's been dropped a lot the last week is Detroit outfielder Akil Baddoo, down 28% on ESPN. I mean, we all knew this was coming, right? Like, we saw this coming. 45% strikeout rate. You know, he's a hard hitter, but there's no plate discipline there. He is one of those, you know, ride the hot streak type of guys. Michael Taylor, another one of those guys. You know, don't feel bad about dropping him here. If you're dropping him, you're doing the right thing. And you can add him, you know, if he starts hitting again. But, you know, we've talked about him before. He's a Rule 5 player. He's never hit higher than single A ball. And we're seeing him, you know, finally get exposed and by pitchers.
So. Yeah, the book is out on him now, right? So that was the thing we were waiting for. You know, once the league figures out how to get him out, what's his next move? He's going to go through this probably a little bit of a prolonged battle here trying to figure things out. So, yeah, let's give him some time. Maybe he figures it out. Maybe. I mean, he does it, like you said, he hits the ball hard. But, yeah, we got to give it some time. No problem cutting him. Another guy no problem cutting is Jonathan India. We've talked about him before. High draft pick, good pedigree, doesn't hit the ball very hard. But there's room for growth there, just like Baddoo. But it's not something I'm going to be wasting my time with right now. There's probably better options out your free agent pools. Josh Rojas is one of those guys, I think, personally. But, yeah, no problem dropping Jonathan India.
Yeah, I think a lot of people picked him up at the start of the season. There was all that hype because he was a rookie making it out of camp, and you know he did get off to that hot start, but we're kind of seeing that, you know, the lack of power, the lack of hard contact is really sort of catching up with him. And then you got Yankees catcher Gary Sanchez is down 14% on ESPN. Now, for a guy who strikes out a lot, this is the best strikeout rate of his career. And he's actually walking more than ever. He has a 209 BABIP right now, but his career BABIP is 254. So that's not that far off. It's not like he's, you know, it's not like a 180 BABIP compared to a career like 300 BABIP, yeah. Right? So I would say the outlook is not so good if I was Magic 8-Ball. He's not hitting the ball hard. The home run to fly ball rate is half of what it normally is. He is definitely suffering from some bad luck. But I think a lot of this is just bad contact. I would consider dropping him for his teammate, Kyle Higashioka, or catchers like Posey, Dom Nunez, Dalton Varsho, guys like that. So, speaking of players we need to pick up, let's take a look at some streamers for the week ahead.
Am I streaming?
So, my suggestions for streaming pitchers this week are Minnesota pitcher Jay Happ, who's playing Detroit on Sunday the 9th. Obviously, you know, you want to start pitchers against Detroit batters. This is a great matchup. Another good matchup that is a little under the radar, New York Mets pitcher Joey Lucchese versus Arizona, also on Sunday. If you had to choose between one of them, I would pick up Happ. Texas pitcher Dane Dunning has a good matchup against Seattle on Saturday the 8th. Seattle is another one of those offenses you want to throw pitchers out against. So I would go ahead and pick him up for his start on Saturday. So we want to finish up the episode today with a question from our listener, Zach, about trading. So we'll do that now. One of my favorite things about fantasy baseball is trading. I love to trade. It makes me feel like a real general manager. Whenever I play, you know, like Madden or the show on PlayStation, I always go to franchise mode and I never play the actual like games. I get so much more enjoyment out of like making the lineup and, you know, trading and switching guys around and calling people up and down. Like that's my favorite thing. And it's so fun that we get to do that in fantasy baseball. Trading is a way to get good players that you would never be able to get on waivers. But how do you get the conversation going when you're trying to make a trade with somebody?
We share similar passions there with MLB The Show and Madden. It was always franchise mode for me.
Oh yeah.
Managing contracts and signing, you know, making trades. And, you know, it's the most fun aspect of fantasy and gaming that I have going for me. And, you know, it's the game really within the game. Right. But the truth is almost like anything else in life, it's about building relationships. Right. And I remember in some of these games, they took that into account, right? You would have good relationships with GMs.
NHL.
Yeah, NHL would do that, right? And you would be able to pull off easier trades because you had a good, better relationship with the other GM. So, you know, you want to do your best to grow that relationship. It's always about sort of the way I look at it is how do you add value to somebody else?
Right.
Right. Nobody wants to trade you Mike Trout for the hottest guy on your team of the week, right? I mean, what a laughable thing to do. That hurts your relationship with your trade partner, right?
It's like insulting them, like a slap in the face.
Yeah, yeah. And that's really half the battle is being a good trade partner. For me, the first step is first you identify what you're willing to part with on your roster, right? And then you have to acknowledge the areas of your roster that are pretty bad. So then you find an owner in your league that you make him better with the players that you're willing to part with. And then you find a player on their roster that will help improve your squad. I mean, that's the real approach for me every time I go into a trade. I'm always looking at some slumping players with decent metrics. You know, owners, they tend to get impatient with underperforming players. And that is where you step in with the valuable solution. You're the problem solver in that situation.
Yeah, I totally agree. One of the things that I always look for is positions or stats where I have surpluses or deficits on my team. And then I look for that on the other team, see where I can find like matches, basically. If I need a second baseman and I've got a ton of outfield, I'll look for a team who needs outfield and that has second baseman to give. And I do the same thing with stats. If I really, really am desperate for RBI, if I'm in a category league or a roto league, and I really need RBI to win a matchup, or, you know, I'm in last place in that statistical category, but I'm way overloaded on stolen bases, I'll find a team that has a ton of RBI and needs stolen bases, and I'll, you know, say, hey, let's help each other out there. And to get the conversation started, oftentimes I'll message the person who I want to trade with and I'll tell them like, hey, I really like so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so on your team. Is there anyone on my team that you're interested in? And that's a really easy way to just kind of get the conversation going, figure out where their head's at, let them know where you're at. And I totally agree with you, like saying, you know, I'm willing to part with these guys. Do any of them interest you, right? That's also a great way to get it going. Sometimes I'll even give them the order that I like the guys in. Mm. Right. So like I like Tucker, then Bryant, then whoever else, then Buxton, right?
Yeah.
And
you get something to work with, right? So it's right. Sort of like a menu. You know, you get somebody to choose off of the menu, and then you know you're working. You have a conversation. Yeah, I think we're on the same page. It's not like it's not necessarily like a quid pro quo thing. It's probably more like Jerry Maguire saying, "Help me help you," yeah. Right? Like, yeah. Let's build a relationship. Let's. There's just nothing worse than a bad trade offer, right?
Yeah, and you know, it is a big turnoff when you get something that's so outrageous, you know, in value one way or the other, that you know, it's like a slap. It is like a slap in the face, right? You think I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
You think I'm going to take this deal. You must think I'm an idiot. And that does turn people off. So I totally agree, right? This is all, trading is all about building the relationships with the players in your league. If they're, you know, if you're in a random league, message the people on whatever, you know, whatever way you can, you know, through whether it's like ESPN or Yahoo, message them on the message board or whatever. If they're guys in your league, text them, right? And get the conversation going. We'll be back next Wednesday with more fantasy baseball info for you. We'll be going over players that you can buy low and sell high on. So make sure that you've subscribed so you're notified when new episodes publish. If you want to get more info from me, I'm currently writing baseball, fantasy baseball, and baseball betting articles for thegameday.com. So check out my articles there. There's a couple articles coming in May you may want to check out. Also, make sure to visit creativesports2.com. That's the number 2. I have a column there called 3 Strikes, and I post there every Thursday. And finally, please give the show a 5-star rating. Each high rating moves this podcast up the list on all the podcast platforms when people search for fantasy baseball. So it's something that really helps me and Matt out. Follow the show on Instagram at Fastball Fantasy Baseball and on Twitter at Fastball Pod. Reach out. Let me know you're listening. I'm very interactive on social media. Tweet the show with drop ad, trade, start, sit questions, and you might just hear it on the show. And feel free to email us at fastballfantasybaseball@gmail.com with any comments, questions, or anything else you're wondering about. Thanks for listening.